Welcome to the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast. Today is Sunday, June 20th, 2021. I'm Steven Jensen. Hope you all had a great week, and happy Father's Day. I'll be going and celebrating with my dad right after I record this show. Gonna have some dinner with him and my family. Gonna come back to my place afterwards and watch some WWE Hell in a Cell. But, like I said, happy Father's Day if you are a father and you're listening, or you are a father-like figure, or you have a father-type figure. You know, hope everyone enjoys their day today. And, yeah, we'll just jump into the topics for today and get into this. So in this edition of the Fightful Select Weekender Podcast, we have results for the MLW Draft, 205 Live, NXT UK, Impact Wrestling, Ring of Honor, NWA, GCW, a recap of the latest Being the Elite titled You Broke My Face, and I'll also give you some quick Hell in a Cell predictions before we get out of here, just to get my predictions out there on the record for you. But before we get started, as always, I have my recommended show to watch on independentwrestling.tv, and my show that I've chosen is Absolute Intense Wrestling's Major Announcement. Now, this weekend alone on independentwrestling.tv, they had six, and they're ongoing for today as well, but they've had six total shows that were live on IWTV this weekend. So as I always say, use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K, all as one word with no space. Put that in the promo code spot. You can use independentwrestling.tv or iwtv.live, and that helps me out a lot when you use that code. But the show that I've chosen, I mean, you should watch all the stuff that they're uploading, but the show that I've specifically chosen today is AIW, Absolute Intense Wrestling's Major Announcement. This show took place from Cleveland, Ohio, and these are the matches to expect. We had a four-way with TKD versus Casey Carrington versus Sydney Von England versus Riley Rose. We had Philly Collins versus Mikey Montgomery. 40 Acres, a team of Joselyn Navarro and PB Smooth, taking on 9-5 and the production of the team of Derek Dillinger and Ziggy Haim, also with Bulking Season. So it was a four-way tag team match there. We had Eric Taylor versus Dominic Guarini, Lee Moriarty versus Ethan Wright, Marino against Trey Lamar. In the main event, we had the Rip City Shooters teaming up with To Infinity and Beyond. So we had Joshua Bishop, Wes Barkley, Cheech, and Colin Delaney taking on the four-man squad of Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, Mark Sterling, and Swoggle, who represent the Major Bros or the Major Wrestling Figure Pod and that whole universe over there. So a really stacked show with a lot of really, really great talent. As always, I'll highlight some talent from this show right now for you. 40 Acres, Navarro and Smooth, I like them a lot. Smooth's really coming into his own a lot more lately. He's always had a lot of talent and potential, but I think he's going to be a pretty big deal once he puts it all together. It's interesting seeing the production, the team of Derek Dillinger and Ziggy Haim. I like their pairing. The production years ago, when I was introduced to Derek Dillinger, it was him and Eddie Only. And Eddie Only now has made like a complete transformation as a member of 440. And that actually suits him way better, in my opinion, than the production did. So I think it's worked out really great for Eddie Only. But then Derek Dillinger was kind of lost in the mix. He was doing some singles stuff lately. But it's good to see him do a new version of the production. And I think Ziggy Haim fits that really well. Bulking Season, Arthur MacArthur and Chuck Stone, those are some throwbacks right there. So presenting something different. MacArthur is somebody that it took me a little bit of time to warm up to. But once I kind of... It's not that I didn't get the gimmick. I mean, you get the gimmick immediately when you see him. But then you see the way that he works and stuff, and it's he does a good job. The only problem with gimmicks like that is there is somewhat of a ceiling on, you know, quote-unquote, like, strongman, like, old-timey type gimmicks. Now, there are certain companies that really cater to that. I mean, you even have Old Wrestling, the promotion on IWTV, which is, like, perfectly suited for that type of stuff as well. But that's just to say, I think MacArthur's actually really talented. There's just somewhat of a ceiling to his gimmick, in my opinion. You know, Dominic Guarini was on the show against Eric Taylor. Guarini, someone I talk about all the time. Obviously, a member of Violence is Forever. I'll talk about them a little bit more here in just a second. But, you know, we see Guarini in MLW. He's one half of the tag team champions for Southern Underground Pro, the SUP Bone Storm tag team champions. And the reason that I'm bringing up Guarini right now as well, on top of, you know, obviously he's incredibly talented and I talk about him every week, is he's currently dealing with an injury. So this was his last match that he's going to wrestle for the next, he said at least the next month. which is going to be interesting because, once again, I'll talk about him a little bit more during the MLW portion of this show. But, you know, shout out and thoughts to Dominic Greeny. He is a guy who's like a literal icon in my home. I live by myself, but I have friends over and my brother and stuff to watch wrestling all the time. And my friends that I've gotten into indie wrestling, they're all big fans of Dominic Greeny, because every time, and obviously it's going to be tough the next, you know, month or two or however long it takes for him to recover, but it's one of those things at this point, it's almost like a running joke that every time I'm watching wrestling and any of my friends are over, Dominic Greeny's on the show. It doesn't matter like what the company is, what the streaming outlet is, at all. It's just, wow, okay, you're pretty much guaranteed to see Dominic Greeny. So, you know, once again, my thoughts are out to him. He's a guy that I've been a fan of a long time, and he's a guy who's really hitting a stride right now, especially in tag team competition with Kevin Koo. So yeah, thoughts are out to Greeny. Hope he gets well soon. I'm a very, 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 very big fan of his. Also, Lee Moriarty on the show. I mentioned it last week, but I'll just, you know, clarify it once again. Moriarty told me, you know, privately, straight up, he has not signed MLW, but he will be a part of their next season and presented as a free agent. Just want to put that on the record once again for anyone who's maybe heard the contrary, because I was confused as well when I first started reporting the news of him with MLW. But Moriarty, of course, going to be a part of the next season, but still a free agent. And he also clarified to me that he really enjoys being an independent contractor, an independent talent. So I'm really interested to see what the immediate future is for Moriarty, but I love seeing him on the indies. Like, I think he is so great for this scene, and he presents something so different. You know, you have a handful of guys like him and Dana McCabe and others who are really, really, really great technically, but Moriarty is like really the total package. I mean, and he has a charisma about him and a swag, and I like the way that he wears like a mask to the ring, but he doesn't wrestle in the mask. He just kind of adds layers to his character. He's a very unique guy with a very unique moveset, and I'm a massive fan. I have been for quite some time, and I talk about him often as well. Shout out to Mikey Montgomery and Eric Taylor, the Bitcoin Boys, wrestling in singles competition throughout the show. Once again, Eric Taylor against Greeny, and we had Mikey Montgomery versus Philly Collins. So, you know, the Bitcoin Boys getting out there more. I know they're guys, I think I first saw them in, geez, it would have been in the South somewhere, but it was probably in Tennessee somewhere. I think Moe's actually maybe even turned me on to them, John Mosley, who you all might know from my personal podcast, but you also may know as the commentator for Action Wrestling and New South, as well as the ring guy for various promotions as well. He's involved with TWE, and he's all over the place now. He'll be doing stuff with Violence X Suffering, I'm pretty sure, soon. So, John Mosley, shout out to Jumping Johnny Mosley. Yeah, he gets me onto a lot of these talents really early, because he sees them at like really small local shows, and if I haven't heard about him, he's usually the first one to tell me about a lot of these guys now. So, and the Bitcoin Boys, I'm pretty sure he told me about, and that would have been a while ago. So it's good to see them doing more as singles, but I like them as a tag team as well. Trey Lamar was on this show. I've talked about him quite a bit, you know, throughout the last year or so. You know, he's a guy who's just really, really talented. I can really see him as like that next group. He's already starting to kind of get there, but he's, when guys like Blake Christian and Ben Carter and Alex Zane and Anthony Henry and these kind of guys, Kurt Stallion, you know, started getting signed, I think Trey Lamar is one of those guys who's going to really, really fill those gaps for just really solid young workers who can just go. I mean, he can just wrestle, and he has good charisma, a very likable or hateable guy, depending on, you know, what he's trying to portray. And he's only going to keep getting better. He's a guy who's probably still a few years away from his prime, which is really exciting. And I could say the same thing about Joshua Bishop, who I talk about on this show all the time. On this entire main event, you know, I'd like to highlight everybody here. You know, Joshua Bishop, I talk about him so often because I really think if I had to pick one guy from the indies right now, one guy, if you had a gun to my head and you said, Steven, you got to pick one person that you're going to build a national wrestling company around that has never been seen on mainstream television before, my pick would be Joshua Bishop. We've never seen him in AEW. We've never seen him in Impact. We've never seen him in the WWE. We've never seen him in MLW. We haven't seen him in like any national level like whatsoever. and I still think he's a couple years away from his prime. He's still a little rough around the edges in some areas, but he is so damn good, and he has gotten so damn good so damn fast, and he has the size and the look. I mean, he's like if Sid Vicious was, I'm guessing Bishop's probably like 6'5", and Bishop's like 20 or 21 years old. I mean, or maybe a little older now. I'd have to double check that. He's definitely in his early 20s. I literally saw his like fifth match ever, maybe his like third match ever. I won't say the gimmick he was doing beforehand, because I want people to pop for it if they're not expecting it. But like, I knew about Josh Bishop before he was Josh Bishop. We'll just put it that way. And I've been a big fan of his for a long time, and he's a guy that I've really, and I say a long time, he's only been wrestling for like 3 or 4 years, but once again, I saw him from the very start of his career, and he has all the tools. He's like, his intensity and his love for, you know, the history of wrestling, but the way that he's like this, I really think he's going to carry the torch. I really do. Like, I just see just a ton of potential in him, a ton more than anybody else. Really. I mean, and that's saying a lot. And there's a lot of guys who are definitely, you know, more ready right now, but a lot of them have seen the mainstream in some way, shape or form. Bishop, I feel like, is still this, like, he's like this really great secret on the indies right now. Like, he hasn't blown up too much that everyone wants a piece of him yet, but like, man, he's so good. And his tag team partner / manager, Wes Barkley, who is also in this match, is fantastic at what he does. Like, he is great as a mouthpiece. I mean, Bishop can talk too, but like, Barkley does a great job with promos. He does a great job hyping up Joshua Bishop. He does a great job bumping for people, no matter what their size or anything is, like, because he'll just keep getting heat on himself to keep Josh from like getting beat up or put in a bad position. So I think Wes Barkley is an incredible manager. And I think he's a great wrestler too. Like, his in-ring work has gotten a lot better also. So like, I'm a big fan of both of these guys. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. Like, I have no issue at all with Barkley wrestling at all. But I think the big money down the line is more of Wes Barkley managing Joshua Bishop on screen and having Joshua Bishop be like, and it kind of already is that way, but I'm just a very big fan of both of those guys. And I hope they never split up for any reason. Like, I want a full career worth of work with Josh Bishop and Wes Barkley at one another's side. I think they're perfect together. And then you have To Infinity and Beyond, who teamed up with the Rip City Shooters. Cheech and Colin Delaney. You know, Cheech, a guy who's been around a long time. And Colin Delaney, some of y'all might remember him from WWE CW all the way back in the day. He's still out there on the indies, busting his butt, having great matches. And I want to give both those guys a shout out too, because they're out there doing their thing, and they have consistently solid tag team matches everywhere I watch them. The gimmick's kind of cheesy, right? It's a Buzz Lightyear gimmick, basically. But their matches are really, really solid. And, you know, the four-person team of Delaney, Cheech, Barkley, and Bishop, I really, really, excuse me, I really, really enjoyed. Then on the other side, you had Matt Cardona and Brian Myers, who, of course, I mean, Matt Cardona, we're seeing him pop up in GCW now, which is incredible. Him and Nick Gage are definitely having a match. I think it was announced for next month, I want to say. It was like July or August. But it's wild to see Matt Cardona really reinventing himself out on the indies. It's great to see Brian Myers on the indies still, because, you know, he's the head trainer at Create a Pro, and he's very linked to a lot of the guys who had have come up on the indies or are still currently working the indies. So it's good to see him as kind of like a generational, what's the right word I'm looking for? He's kind of like a generational liaison between the two, like between the current indie guys, the older indie guys, and the people who are on television, because he's kind of in the middle of all of that. And it is a little strange with Cardona and Myers teaming together, considering they're in like this blood feud on AEW or on Impact Wrestling. But, you know, just is what it is. It's wrestling. I can set aside the kayfabe every now and then. You had Smart Mark Sterling in this match, who, of course, was trained by Brian Myers, but also is a part of AEW now. It's pretty wild. We're living in a world where, like, Cardona and Myers are with Impact, and Sterling is in AEW, which is, like, technically the bigger American promotion. You know, it's like, Sterling's actually kind of the biggest star of the three right now, you know, with his work that he's doing with Jade Cargill now. So, that's really wild how the tables have turned on that. And Sterling, of course, can go in the ring, much more of a comedy-type wrestler. And then you had Swoggle, the former Hornswoggle from WWE, who had a really good showing in this match. And after the match, he announced that he has to, I think it was some injuries he has to take care of, and he doesn't know if he'll ever wrestle again, but if that was his last show, like, that's, he wants to go out on something like that. And he left his boots in the ring, and the fans were all cheering for him, and the rest of the major bros were all, you know, hugging him in the ring and stuff. And it was a great moment. So yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of this entire show. I'm a huge fan of the main event. I mean, I would recommend watching everything. I mean, since you have so much great talent in here, like the upcoming Bitcoin Boys, like Dominic Greeny, like Lee Moriarty, and the upcoming Trey Lamar, and those kind of guys. But, I mean, you definitely go out of your way to at least watch this main event, because also just the way that you get these stare downs between, like, Cardona and Bishop and stuff, and, like, the crowd, you can tell the crowd seeing something special by the way they're reacting. And then the way the crowd was played during this match, and the just great work all around from everybody involved in this show. Couldn't recommend it enough. Once again, check it out. My recommended show this week, Absolute Intense Wrestling's Major Announcement. It's available right now on independentwrestling.tv or IWTV.live. Use code FIGHTTALK, F-I-G-H-T-T-A-L-K. Check out the service and help me out. Moving on, we have round 5 of the MLW draft. So, not as big of, like, special news this week or, like, surprise signings or anything like that, but I do want to keep y'all in the loop of who is the new draftees over to MLW. Now, they're all people who were, you know, previously with the company, so nothing really that out of left field, but people that do continue to round out their roster. We had TJP announced, who we obviously see a lot in Impact Wrestling. Very polarizing figure in the world of wrestling amongst the fans, admittedly, but does have very, very solid matches. His match against Josh Alexander, for instance, the Iron Man match from Impact a couple weeks ago, I think was fantastic and an absolute must-watch for any wrestling fan of any promotion. Like, if you consider yourself a wrestling fan, I really think you should go out of your way to watch TJP versus Josh Alexander. And TJP has been doing a lot of work with MLW on the side. You know, a lot of people might not realize that, but TJP has been heavily involved in their weekly show. He had had that feud with Gino Medina, and some others, you know. He's back in MLW. I think he's good for their roster as far as, once again, if you want to look specifically at in-ring talent, TJP is a good guy to have on that MLW squad. And then the other announcements were Violence's Forever. I was just talking about Dominic Greeny, himself and Kevin Koo, who are also a part of Team Filthy, with Filthy Tom Lawler, who also, speaking of Tom Lawler, he was drafted to MLW either last week or a couple weeks ago. It was confirmed that he'll be a part of the next season. And Tom Lawler actually just announced his retirement from mixed martial arts. He's been fighting throughout this time as well. People may not realize that, but he fought in PFL just a few days ago. He won his fight and he was still in the PFL tournament, but he retired. I think he just wanted to go out on a win, and I don't know if the retirement will stick or not, or if it was like a work. I mean, knowing Tom Lawler, you can never know what to expect from him, but if that is the end of his MMA career, he had a hell of a career, and it's unfortunate that so much of it was taken away from him. For those of you who don't know, and I won't get, like, super into the details, years ago, Tom Lawler failed one of his drug tests, and it was for, like, a very, very small amount of a banned substance. He wound up getting, I think, 2-year suspension for it. Now, there are other fighters, like John Jones, for instance, who have failed for very, very, very similar things and have just been given exemptions to be able to still fight. Not even like, suspended or anything, like, just allowed to fight. And Filthy Tom was just having to sit there on the sidelines for, like, 2 full years in his prime. He was in the top, I think at the time he was ranked in the top 10 of the UFC lightweight division, or sorry, light heavyweight division. And, yeah, it's just, I mean, he just had to sit there and, like, watch other guys who were failing for the same thing as him not really get punished over it, because it was such a small amount of something that, once again, without getting super into it, there are ways that you can get very small amounts of banned substance into your system without even knowing it. You know, whether Tom knew it or not, I don't know. But, like, the point is, it was such a small amount that it wouldn't have made any difference at all. And it's one of those things where, like, I could go to GNC right now and buy a protein powder and take it. And some of the things might be in that aren't on the label. You know, that just happens sometimes. Sometimes these ingredients and these protein powders and stuff get made in the same vats and the same machines as like actual anabolic steroids. So sometimes you just get like remnants and residue from other things into your stuff. I mean, there have been people who failed drug tests for eating steak because the meat that they ate, they didn't know like that the cow was pumped with steroids. Like they didn't, there's no way of knowing that. So the point is, Filthy Tom had to sit out for a chunk of his prime. And that's a real bummer. So I'm really happy for him. Similar to Matt Riddle, similar situations where Riddle kept getting, you know, suspended because of, you know, weed, which, you know, he was doing, admittedly. But, you know, he kept failing his drug test for pot. Wound up finding a second life in professional wrestling. And Tom Lawler's basically done the same thing, found a second life in pro wrestling. So good for him and good for the rest of Team Filthy. You know, like once again, I hope Dominic Greeny heals up soon. I'm imagining, you know, Kevin Koo is going to be fine on his own for a minute. He's a great singles wrestler, but he's also a great tag team guy. And then once again, I'm just looking forward to Team Filthy all reuniting in MLW soon. So that's pretty much all the news out of the MLW draft this week. And we got Battle Riot coming up soon. So I'll be talking a lot about MLW come Battle Riot time. Moving on, we have results for 205 Live. As per usual, we had two matches that were both very solid. The first match, we had Grayson Waller defeating Asher Hale. Got the win after hitting his jumping curb stomp. It's like a standing curb stomp. You know, if it was me, I'd give this win to Hale all day. I'm a huge fan of the former Anthony Henry, now Asher Hale. Grayson Waller, who was Wahlberg before, I think Matt Wahlberg, I can't, something like that. His last name was definitely Wahlberg. Like, every time I see this guy, all I can think of is, like, I knew him as Wahlberg on the indies. But Grayson Waller, I think he's all right. He's the kind of guy who does what I would call putting a hat on a hat pretty often. Like, he's constantly adding, like, an extra spin or somersault or something into his moves that like don't actually add to the move or the efficiency or the effectiveness of any of these moves, but that's kind of his gimmick at the same time. Like he kind of builds it up to get heel heat as like I see that he's doing it as a heel tactic. So, you know, I'll give him a pass for a lot of it, but I just think Asher Hale is way more talented, if I'm just being honest. And Hale's MMA strikes and everything are just so crisp. And his cardio is so on point, but you can tell that there's big plans for Waller and big plans for Hale. I mean, there's something going on with Hale and Ari Sterling, the former, Alex Zane. So like, we'll see where this all heads. So, you know, once again, don't really have an issue with it because it's not like I like hate Grayson Waller or something like that, but they had done a pretty good job of building Asher Hale. And I don't want to see that momentum halted at the expense of Waller. Like if I had to push one of the two, I guess is what I'm getting at. I would definitely push Hale over Waller at this point, but I see what they're trying to do with Waller. In the main event, we had Ikemen Jiro, defeating Tony Nese. Ikemen, very charismatic guy. I think he's okay in the ring, but it's his charisma that's going to really make him stand out, and that's going to really lead him to a potentially, you know, fruitful career in the WWE. He gets the win with, I think he calls it the Ikemen Slash, basically a running enziguri, but he is the kind of guy that, like, I really think is better suited for, like, Raw or SmackDown. As strange as that might sound, I think he's way more of, like, a character. He's solid in the ring, but I just, in comparison, like, I think Tony Nese just comes off as, like, way more athletic. A guy like Asher Hale just comes off as way more athletic. Ikemen Jiro is pretty good, but he, once again, a lot of his moveset is kind of basic, and it's based around a lot of it, like, him holding his own jacket to do moves, which is fine, because he's the only guy wearing a jacket when he wrestles, really. I mean, once again, that helps him stand out. But if 205 Live is, like, the workhorse show, well, let's put it this way, I think that Asher Hale is more of like a workhorse in-ring star than Waller, and I think the same about Tony Nese over Ikemen Jiro. Now, once again, if you're looking at like the character aspects, I think Waller and Jiro both have like bigger, more kind of brighter characters, if that all makes sense. So interesting to see what they're doing here. Now, it is worth mentioning on NXT, Kushida laid out his most recent Cruiserweight title challenge, and Blake Christian, who's now known as Trey Baxter, he answered the bell and did the challenge, and Kushida defeated him to retain the title, but Baxter looked really, really good, and I'd imagine we'll be seeing Baxter in 205 Live soon, because, I mean, geez, if we can get him and Alex Zane on the same show, I mean, that's just going to be some legendary stuff for 205 Live, and then you mix in, you know, Asher Hale, and you mix in August Gray, and then, you know, whenever Curt Stallion's back from injury, if he's back on 205, and of course, you still have Tony Nese and Navarri still holding it down for those guys and still having super solid showings. So, once again, 205 Live, it's just a damn good wrestling show. It just really is. Like, once again, I would have honestly flip-flopped the results in these two matches if it was me personally. But it's also one of those things where, like, I come out of the show understanding what they're trying to do here, you know? They're continuing to build new people and seeing what works and what doesn't and who to push and who not to push and where the puzzle pieces fit in this puzzle of the overall land of the WWE. Because you also have to figure, it's not just 205 Live. You got to be like, okay, there's these guys on 205 Live. Well, how long do we want them there? Like, which of these guys can we pluck to put over in NXT? Which of those guys would be better on Raw or SmackDown? You know, so it's a fast moving machine that is coming from multiple angles at all times. So once again, solid show for 205 Live. I enjoyed it. If you want to watch just a good half hour of wrestling, that 205 Live is for you. Moving on, you had NXT UK. These are results. We had Wolfgang defeating Sam Gradwell in the first match. He got the win after doing basically like a buckshot lariat type maneuver, except he did a spear instead of a lariat. So it was like a buckshot spear. But the spear didn't look good. It just didn't. It was more of like a really slow running spine buster almost. It just didn't look very good, if I'm being honest. You know, I don't dislike Wolfgang. I think Sam Gradwell has some potential, but it just really wasn't that great, in my opinion. Gradwell looked pretty good during the match, but the finish was kind of like, it just didn't look that great, if I'm just being honest. The next match was pretty short. We had Kenny Williams defeating Danny Jones. Both guys come off kind of generic to me, but both look like they can definitely go in the ring. Kenny Williams gets the win in what was kind of a back-and-forth match, but once again, a short match. Got the win after hitting the Bulldog Driver for the 1-2-3. We had a sit-down with Rampage Brown, Dragunov, and Joe Coffey. They are having a triple threat match next week where the winner will become the number one contender for Walter, which I love. You know, all these guys have had a shot at Walter already, but these are the three standout guys in the company right now, and I'd be fine with any of those three getting a shot, a second shot at Walter. If it's my choice, I'm going Dragunov, especially because Rampage Brown was recent. I don't see them ever having Joe Coffey beat Walter, and Dragunov and Walter had, in my opinion, the best match of the whole year of 2020, the two of them on NXT UK, so I gotta go Dragunov, and there's actually reasonable doubt that, like, he might actually beat Walter. Like, I'm still probably gonna pick Walter in my predictions if that's the match, but there's, like, it's like a 60-40 type pick now. Like, you know, usually for Walter matches, I have him like 90% winning, 10% losing. This would be more like 60% winning, 40% losing against Dragunov a second time. So I would be very, very into that. But once again, I'm a fan of all three of these guys, but I just think Dragunov just makes the most sense for a lot of reasons. After that, we had Jordan Devlin on the Supernova Sessions with Noam Dar. Devlin cut a good promo basically talking about how NXT UK, everyone thought that they were safe because they all thought he was heading to the U.S. full-time when he was a Cruiserweight champion, and he said that he's NXT UK for the foreseeable future. He's there to stay, and he basically tells anybody that wants a shot at him, the Irish Ace, to come and knock on his dressing room door, and later in the show, A-Kid is actually in his dressing room, and Jordan Devlin is not happy about it, but Devlin versus A-Kid as a feud would be really, really good stuff going forward. We also got an announcement that Tiamat is going to wrestle Oliver Carter next week, so that should be good. After that, we had Nathan Frazier over Rohan Raju. got the win with a frog splash after he did his really cool, fast, AJ Styles style springboard reverse DDT, but does it into a final cut instead of reverse DDT. He did that to set up his frog splash. And yeah, not a surprise here. Raju he's new to the company. He got injured by Tiamat in his first match, like storyline injured in the crossface. And so Raju's trying to build up and like get a big win on UK, but he's the right choice. Just keep pushing him. I can't say enough good things. The former Ben Carter. You just got to have him just keep winning. Winning, winning, winning. He won a tag team match last week, won a singles match this week. Usually wrestles singles. I would just have him win. Eventually, once things settle down between Dragunov, Rampage, and Coffee, I'd see Frazier maybe sliding up into that title mix after that. So yeah, just keep doing what you're doing with Nathan Frazier. They're building him perfectly, and he's a great guy to push. He's fantastic in the ring. And the main event of the show, we had Flash Morgan Webster and Danny Luna defeating the team of Ginny and Joseph Connors. The finish came when Ginny hit a powerbomb off the top rope, and then Flash did a 630 for the 1-2-3. Looked really brutal, too. Flash landed kind of like his lower back on the 630, so Connors got the full brunt of that move. But yeah, this was a solid match. I'm a big fan of South Wales subculture. I think Ginny and Joseph Connors are perfect together. It gives both of them something to do. And Connors was lost in the mix before her. So I think that, once again, the pairing is smart. They're good in the ring. They're a good character group together. And it looks like a subculture is being set up against Pretty Deadly. Pretty Deadly was on commentary during the match. And it seems like that'll be the next big tag team feud and match. So I'm fine with all those things. NXT UK, I noticed another solid show. I really can't say enough good things right now about 205 Live and NXT UK. Just really, really good. Really good wrestling stories that make sense. I mean, I really can't ask for anything more than that. Moving on, we have results for Impact Wrestling. The show, of course, happened Thursday. And every Thursday, you can catch myself and Joel Pearl, along with a third guest, on the Fightful Twitch channel. So that's twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. We put the show up on the screen for you. The two of us are on camera as well, along with our third guest, just kicking it, talking about wrestling and answering your questions. It's a good time. You should join us. And this upcoming week, we have Spencer Love from Love Wrestling coming on with us. So that'll be a lot of fun. He's a good dude, been on the watch along before. And join us every Thursday, once again, at twitch.tv/FightfulGaming. Give you some thoughts on this show, because we watched it live, but I'll give you the results and a little bit of where I think this is all heading for these competitors and these matches and stories. So the first match we had, TJP over Black Taurus, got the win with the Mamba Splash for the 1-2-3. Like I mentioned earlier, I mean, TJ is just having really solid matches. Black Taurus is a great wrestler, too, with just a gimmick that I just hate that the gimmick's just going to put such a ceiling on him because he's such a good worker and he's so good at bumping and everything. This was a lot of fun for when it lasted. But TJP getting the win, not surprising. He was recently in the X Division title mix. He was the X Division champion not too long ago, and he was left out of the mix for the upcoming Ultimate X match. So I think the push of TJP, kind of the re-push of TJP, is going to be starting here. He was, of course, with Fall of Ba. The two of them been getting into some stuff, so see where it goes from here. But once again, TJP over Black Taurus. After that, we had Moose attacking TJP, and then basically, he gets a chair in the ring and does the old school, Randy Savage from Nitro thing, where he's going to hold down the ring until he talks to management, gets what he wants. Chris Sabin winds up coming out and attacking Moose, and we later find out that we're going to get Sabin and Moose one-on-one. So that'll be a really good match, but kind of random. Kind of almost out of nowhere. I mean, they have some history from like the six-man match from a couple pay-per-views ago. But kind of strange. But once again, it'll be good. It gives both of them something to do. After that, we had Josh Alexander over Madman Fulton. Got the win with a J-Driller for the 1-2-3. Fulton's looking pretty damn good. He's definitely improving. And he's definitely improved drastically since his time in the WWE, in my opinion. So this was solid, and they're just continuing to build Josh Alexander. Like I mentioned before, he'll be defending the X Division title in Ultimate X against five other guys. So that's going to be wild, and it's going to be awesome. And I just love that Alexander is something different for the division. He's more of like an actual like mat-based wrestler, but he can do a little bit of everything. Got a nice moonsault. He can do dives and stuff if he has to. Obviously with his ankle locks and suplexes and all that. I mean, I'm a very, very big fan of his work, and he's turned out to be a great fit for the X Division. A guy that like I didn't really know what his future was going to look like after Ethan Page left, but he has been killing it in these X Division title matches. So yeah, huge shout out to Josh Alexander. And huge shout out to Madman Fulton once again for continuing to improve. And him and Ace Austin are a great pairing. Very similar to what I was saying about Josh Bishop and Wes Barkley earlier. I think Madman works better as a bodyguard for Ace, but if they need to tag together, that's great as well. So a lot of it's good to have that versatility and all those options with talents like that. After that, we had Steve Maclin defeating Jason Page in a squash match. Got the win with a, it was like how D-Von used to do that like reverse DDT where he like a reverse lifting DDT, except Maclin did it like between his legs, almost like a Falcon Arrow. Not doing the best job maybe explaining it, but it was something like that. Maclin got the 1-2-3 with that. Not surprising whatsoever. Maclin's, debuting with the company and everything. Like it's. He's gonna get a push. It's just gonna be a matter of if he can sink or swim, if the character is interesting enough, if he gets over with the crowd, all that kind of stuff. But they will push him. It looks like. So we'll see how this all goes. After that, we had Tennille Dashwood over Rachel Ellering. Got the one with the crucifix pin for the 1-2-3 after a distraction from Caleb with a K. Surprising result considering Rachel Ellering is like a total beast on this show. I mean, she has been kicking ass and taking names. And they're teasing more things of her and Jordan, dissension between the two. There was a backstage segment on the show where Jordan and her were in an argument, and Jordan wound up walking away from Rachel. So, Tennille got a win over Jordan on the Impact Plus show. She got a win over Rachel here. So, I mean, she has a win over Rachel and Jordan, all basically, I think, within like the same week. So, Tennille Dashwood's on a total roll, but they got to figure things out with Rachel and with Jordan because the two of those women, like, really should be. When you look at the like the overall landscape of the Impact Knockouts division, you should have Deonna Purrazzo, Jordynne Grace, and Rachel Ellering as like your top three right now, in my opinion. After that, we had Kojima over Rhino, got the win with a lariat after a Koji Cutter for the 1-2-3. Good stuff. These are just two big dudes beating the hell out of each other. I like it. Strong style stuff. Kojima needed the win, especially after losing to Joe Doering. At Against All Odds, so yeah, not a surprising result. Rhino is still in there doing a great job. So yeah, I want to see more out of Kojima. And for the record, I thought Kojima versus Joe Doering at Against All Odds was awesome. That was one of my favorite. That might have been my favorite match of the whole show, to be honest. So yeah, I want to see more out of Kojima. He's having a great run so far in Impact Wrestling, and he really needed a win. So him having this win over Rhino makes a lot of sense. We also got an announcement that next week we're gonna have Diener and Doering against Kojima and Eddie Edwards, so that'll be really good stuff. After that, we have pretty much what's like the quote unquote main event segment of the show. Sami Callihan, who has been fired, is he gets into the building and he's on the microphone and it winds up leading to Scott D'Amore and Don Callis coming out to the ring and arguing with each other. And then the big surprise, the big, anthem representative winds up being Tommy Dreamer. And Tommy Dreamer basically fires Don Callis. And this was all very predictable. And yeah, just honestly, really lame, if I'm just being totally honest. I'm not into the whole Sami Callihan versus Kenny feud. But I think the story they'll be able to tell will be decent. I just don't think anyone's clamoring for that match. And I don't want to sound like a wet blanket or like a record that just plays the same thing over and over. But like, Impact Wrestling has this whole roster of just young, upcoming, just hungry as hell talent that haven't gotten chances in main events on big shows. And you're going back to Sami Callihan, which I just don't think anyone's asking for. I mean, you got a guy like Ace Austin just like lost in the shuffle right now. You could easily be building Ace Austin versus Kenny Omega for the title. I mean, and now I just feel like fans would eat that up. But yeah, that's just my opinion. So that was Impact this week. Overall, it was a good show. Moving on, we have results for Ring of Honor. So first match we had was Eli Isom over Dak Draper. Got the win after hitting the Promise, his brain buster, for the 1-2-3. He moves on to the Survival of the Fittest finals. And I'm a fan of Draper and Isom. A big story of this match was Dalton Castle and the boys. They were out there cheering on Dak Draper, but wound up leaving towards the end of the match. Draper wound up getting like distracted because of that, and Isom wound up capitalizing to hit his brainbuster for the 1-2-3. No issues here with the result. Eli Isom in the finals, no issue at all with that. I'm a fan of both of these guys. I think they both have really bright futures. After that, we had a promo between O'Shea Edwards and Chris Dickinson, like two taped promos that were really good. I've been a fan of O'Shea for years. I first discovered him because of SUP in Nashville. I got to watch him live all over the place. He was a big part of the collective, or sorry, the IWTV family reunion a couple years ago in the big Southern Underground Pro six-man match. He's a guy who has all the tools. He checks every box. He is a big, scary, intimidating dude with a great moveset, with great power, and he's a great guy. He's a guy that I got to interview early on in his career, and he's a guy with ties to a lot of wrestlers that I'm a big fan of and other wrestlers that I know on a personal level, and I want nothing but great things for O'Shea Edwards. I think he has all the talent in the world to be the biggest thing that Ring of Honor's got, or to really break out in the mainstream somewhere else after his Ring of Honor run is over. I really think incredibly highly of O'Shea Edwards, and I think the same about Chris Dickinson. The two of these guys are going to have an awesome match with one another. Dickinson, of course, a part of Violence Unlimited. I think Dickinson and O'Shea is going to be awesome. It's going to be a must-watch match for Ring of Honor, and it'll be something a little different than what you're used to seeing in Ring of Honor 2. You know, with all the pure wrestling that we get on a regular basis, which is great. I love the pure wrestling aspect of Ring of Honor. But I think O'Shea and Dickinson, those two guys are going to beat the hell out of each other. But they're both very good, but they're both very tough. They're going to be out to prove a point, I think, in that match and really, really show out. So I am really looking forward to O'Shea versus Dickinson. And then the main event of this show, we had the tag team titles on the line in a pure rules match. We had Hot Sauce Tracy Williams and Rhett Titus taking on LFI, the team of Dragon Lee and Kenny King. The finish was odd if you're not used to pure rules, but if you are used to it, it makes total sense. So basically what winds up happening is Tracy Williams hits a pile driver off the second rope, goes for the cover on Dragon Lee, but Kenny King comes up and breaks up the cover so that they can't get the three count. But their breaks were taken up already. So it wound up being a disqualification, with the foundation winning by DQ because Kenny King wasn't allowed to break that pin up. So once again, because of the pure rules, foundation retains here in what was a really solid match. And afterwards, Bestia Del Ring and the foundation all wind up fighting each other in the ring, and you know, Lethal and Gresham come out, and Violence Unlimited is up on the ramp watching and stuff. So just another solid, once again, Ring of Honor pretty much every week. It's very similar to 205 Live. Really, really solid in-ring action, stories that completely make sense, and payoffs to the stories. So I honestly have nothing bad to say about Ring of Honor, and I think that people that aren't paying attention to it should. Because if you have hour of your time a week, you're going to see some just damn good wrestling on Ring of Honor TV every week. And it's free on their website. So, you know, check it out. Moving on, got results for NWA Power. Show started off with a really good promo from Trevor Murdoch. I mean, you just got to feel really bad for him in that whole situation from When Our Shadows Fall against Nick Aldis, just getting screwed out of the title like that. But you know, unfortunately, that's all I like about that feud. Trevor Murdoch's coming across very sympathetic, but like, we'll see where this all ultimately winds up. The first match of the show, Melina defeated Genocide and Kenzie Page. She wound up getting the win after a roll-up on Page for the 1-2-3. Honestly, the match wasn't great. Melina didn't look very good in comparison to the other two, in my opinion. And after the match, Camille winds up cutting a promo talking about how Latimer and Adonis have to, you know, wrestle each other in the tournament for the national title, And something that was, you know, that I'm wondering where they're going with this, but I can see some possibilities. Camille, it seems like Camille wants to defend her title outside of the NWA or find challengers outside of the NWA, which I think would be absolutely incredible. I gave my thoughts on the possibilities of that last week, but I think Camille against someone like Britt Baker would be just awesome if they can make that happen. After that, we had PJ Hawks, Sal Renaro, and Danny Deals. They're all talking about trying to be the number one contender for the TV title. Colby Carino comes out, and it winds up to where they figure out a way of doing a triple threat match where we're going to have Hawks, Carino, and Renaro, and the winner of that will get a shot at the TV title. Good to see Colby Carino involved. I think he's a really, really good fit for the NWA right now. After that, we had Aaron Stevens, the PJ Hawks. They fight to a no contest because La Rebellion came out and just beat up everybody. Also, Luke Hawks, PJ Hawks' dad, came out trying to make the save and all that stuff. And yeah, there's really just not a whole lot more I can talk about there. Although Bestia and Mechawolf do say that they're coming after all the championships, and their first targets are Aaron Stevens and JR Kratos because they have the tag team titles, but it sounds like they want all the gold by the way that they're talking. After that, we had Marche Rocket and Slice Boogie interrupt the Masked Man, but that's really all you can say about that. Perro cuts a good promo. He wants to beat Adonis and Latimer, but Adonis and Latimer are willing to work together to keep the title within Strictly Business. But Perro wants to overcome both of these guys, which I think could be a really great story if Perro can beat Adonis and Latimer. It's going to be an uphill battle, but I do like the idea there. I'm a very big fan of Perro. I talk about him often on this show. I mean, I'd love to see him get a strong singles push in the NWA. I think that'd be awesome. I think him and Odinson are a great tag team, the end as well, but Perro as a singles guy, I think, has a lot of star potential. And the main event of the show, we had JTG defeating El Rudo and Fred Rosser. Rosser, by the way, just announced that he has signed a contract with New Japan Pro Wrestling, which makes a lot of my previous comments about some of the results lately make a lot more sense, because I was getting real confused as to why Rosser was losing so often lately, because he's been so great for the NWA lately, but he's signed with New Japan going forward, so it makes sense that they'd have him losing, so it makes total sense now. JTG's looking great. He looks like he's in great shape. He's looking better in the ring than he ever has. He gets the win by hitting the Brooklyn's Edge for the 1-2-3 on Rudo, and yeah, all good stuff here. JTG continuing to get a push, and he's in the finals now of, you know, trying to get to the NWA national title. So great stuff here. I really, like, I'd say about half the show was lame, about half the show was really well done. I mean, so honestly, this week, I'd say go out of your way to check out the NWA. At the very least, check out the main event, because Rudo, JTG, and Rosser, I think, are all really damn good right now. Can you give you some quick results for GCW's Outlaw Mud show? This show happened last night. There was a lot going on in the World of Combat sports, so I haven't been able to fully watch the show yet. So I'm going to tell you the results, and then I'm going to watch the show probably right after. Although I've seen bits and pieces of it already. But yeah, last night we had Anderson Silva versus Chavez Jr. We had UFC Korean Zombie versus Dan Ige. We had a lot of stuff this weekend. And of course, all the IWTV shows. But these are the results for GCW's Outlaw Mud show. We had Jordan Oliver over Gringo Loco, Chris Dickinson over Too Cold Scorpio, Jimmy Lloyd over Alley Catch, One Cold Manders over Matthew Justice in a bull rope match, Effie over Warhorse, AJ Gray over Orion Veidt, Ricky Morton over Atticus Koger, and in the main event in a bunkhouse brawl match for the GCW World title, the King, Nick Gage, defeated Old Mance Warner. So a lot of great talent on this show. GCW just killing it. I mean, you still got Too Cold Scorpio out there doing his thing. He's still wrestling at a super high level, by the way. And of this show, I got to see Manders and Matthew Justice, which I thought was really damn good. Two SGC members going one-on-one against each other. Hard-hitting, great action there. Big fan of both guys. Recently saw Matthew Justice as a part of AEW Dark 2, which I thought was awesome. AJ Gray, the mother effing truth, one of my favorite guys in the indie right now, with probably my favorite entrance in all of the indies, outside of Nick Gage. He's got the top entrance right now, but That Waka Flocka entrance for AJ Gray is becoming iconic. Ricky Morton, Atticus Coger, just what a hell of a clash of generations and styles there. Huge fan of Nick Gage, huge fan of Mance Warner, huge fan of Dickinson and Alley Catch and Jordan Oliver. I mean, just a ton of great talent in this one. Effie and Warhorse I thought was really damn good. That was the match. That was the first match I got to watch in full on the show, actually. And I thought Effie and Warhorse tore the house down. I thought they had a great, great showing, the two of them. And Effie is incredibly over with GCW. So yeah, that was GCW's Mudlaw Out Show. Mudlaw Out Show. My God. Outlaw Mud Show. It must be time for me to talk about Being the Elite. Gonna give you a quick recap of this, too, because once again, there just wasn't a lot going on Being the Elite this week. A lot of highlights and recaps. But it starts off with Ryan Nemeth. He is doing his Hollywood quiz, finds Luchasaurus, asks if he had recognized him as a lifeguard in an Xfinity commercial. And, of course, Luchasaurus didn't, because that's the gimmick of this whole thing, is them not knowing that Nemeth, had done these things. We get highlights of the Young Bucks helping Kenny Omega defeat Moose at Against All Odds to retain the Impact Championship. We had footage of Brandon Cutler having to clean the Young Bucks shoes, and the Young Bucks just keep berating him, basically just treating him like a young boy. That's basically the underlying story of this whole episode, is the Young Bucks just treating Brandon Cutler like trash. We got some good trick shots from Nick Jackson throughout the show as well, but once again, I can't really do those justice. But he's been hitting some nice shots, and I love his reactions to making the shots. We had footage of the Young Bucks and Kenny heading to a photo shoot for AEW Rampage. Nick just keeps talking about how much he hates having to do photo shoots like this. And Kenny Omega basically just keeps telling Brandon Cutler that, like, he just has to keep doing what they tell him to do. Because if he doesn't, then, like, he's going to ruin his whole family and their new house and the multiple contracts he has. So the Young Bucks and Kenny just continually keep trying to push Brandon Cutler to do things they want him to do out of the fear of him losing his job and, like, ruining his whole family by just not listening to the Young Bucks and Omega. After that, we saw some highlights of the six-man match between the Bucks and Cutler against Pac, Penta, and Kingston. And Kingston wound up getting the win by hitting the back fist onto Cutler for the 1-2-3. We saw the wingmen all talking to each other. So we had Nemeth, JD Drake, Brunoni, and Avalon all talking, making some weird noises. They want to try to recruit Orange Cassidy to their group, and they're just eating sushi, but they're eating it all different. Like, JD Drake's like eating with his fingers. Some of them don't want to even try it and stuff. This group is very bizarre, but I get that the gimmick kind of is that they're all, like, they shouldn't be friends based on, like, their backgrounds and stuff, I guess. It's kind of where, I know that sounds weird to say, but it's like one of those things where it's like four really unlikely friends who really don't seem to have anything in common, especially JD Drake. I mean, this guy doesn't have anything in common with any of these guys, seemingly. Like, I want to see JD Drake as just, like, a total ass-kicking, like, southern, just tough guy, but they have him dressing in, like, flamboyant outfits and stuff and hanging out with these guys. It's strange, but I think that's the idea of the group, though, is that it's supposed to be strange. After that, we had the BTE Championship on the line. Brandon Cutler and Marco Stunt in a basically like a little DMB's type of like little mini basketball shooting game. And I say DMB, so you go to DMB's a lot. It's really more, it's one of those little cheap basketball hoops you put up on your wall with a little cheap basketball. Stunt and Cutler both get 10 shots apiece. Marco winds up winning 3-2. So Marco Stunt is your new BTE champion. And the Young Bucks and Kenny tell him, do not bring that title over to Sammy's vlog, but I'm sure that's exactly what will happen. Which is unfortunate, because while it's on Sammy's vlog, I don't really get to see anything about the title because I don't really watch his vlog that often. I'm not saying it's a bad vlog. I just have a lot of other wrestling stuff on my plate each week, and that's kind of one of my last priorities. But I'm happy for Marco Stunt. Any shine that guy can get, I mean, I'm a huge fan of Marco's, so I like seeing him get this BTE championship, get a little more attention on him. After that, we had Don Callis, footage of him on commentary just talking about how Brandon Cutler's going to have to do a bunch of squats because he lost the match to Kingston and all that stuff. And then the show wraps up with Brandon Cutler talking to Matt and Nick Jackson. He sees that they've beat up Pac backstage. They've done this multiple weeks in a row now. And Nick tells Brandon that like, he needs to be around to actually get footage of the next time they beat someone up. And Cutler like definitely isn't enjoying this and definitely isn't having fun with this. But the Young Bucks just keep telling him like just to keep doing what they tell him to do. Like do his job is basically where they're at with this. Just keep doing your job. So once again, the big underlying story of this whole episode is the Young Bucks and Omega and just the Elite in general really forcing Brandon Cutler to do their dirty work for them, or to at least be included in the dirty work. And Cutler is not enjoying it. So that's it for being the Elite. Going to give you a quick prediction rundown for Hell in a Cell because it is tonight at the time of this recording. I'm literally just going to say the winners and losers of each match. I'm going to go with Cesaro over Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens over Sami Zayn, Alexa Bliss over Shayna Baszler, Bianca Belair over Bayley in a Hell in a Cell match to retain the SmackDown Women's Championship. I'll take Charlotte Flair to become the new and once again Raw Women's Champion over Rhea Ripley. And I'll take Bobby Lashley to retain the WWE Championship in a last chance Hell in a Cell match against Drew McIntyre. So that's it for Hell in a Cell, and that's going to do it for this episode of the Fightful Select Weekender podcast. I've been Steven Jensen. Make sure to shoot me a follow on Twitter at FightTalk underscore FightTalk_. Till next weekend, enjoy some professional wrestling, and happy Father's Day.